It's 2 o'clock Mountain Time. It's Monday, June 27th. That's almost the end of June or July. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what month it is. I don't know what the hell's going on. I got no clue. Yeah. That's the problem. It's friggin' Monday.
That's it, baby. It's Monday.
Jeez. Movement today. Forgot my hat. I don't know. I'm in big trouble, so I don't know what's going on today.
You look good. You look really good.
I look good, don't I? I look pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty spiffy.
You got lots of color. Yeah, more gray in your mustache.
Don't talk about my... Got to put my mask on.
Well, you can tell I've been out in the sun. The summer did finally come back and sort of roared in at, Friday at 82 degrees all through the weekend into the day. So, July till the 15th of August, 4 weeks in Vancouver to be here. If you're going to visit, those are the 4 weeks going to come.
All right. Well, I got some people coming in. Bruce is here. Bob's here. Some other folks are here. So, we're happy to have you along with us today. And, while we're waiting, don't forget we're on the air every Saturday. You can listen to us live 8 to 11, three full hours of limited commercial interruption at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Listen Now. Nothing you have to download or subscribe to or anything else. It's absolutely free. And you can listen to our previous shows at KMMSAM.com. Also, just click on Tom and Shane's podcast over there, and you can hear all of our previous shows. And if you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and like us and comment. Let us know what you like or don't like about what we do here. So let's rock and roll, because right now our top story is I've had it with the racist crap, Shane. I think you have too, but I'm really at the top of my when you reach a certain point, it's called the tipping point.
Yeah, exactly. Beyond that, my friend, the only comments I have about being tired of the racist crap is that if there's systemic racism in your country, it's not understandable to me. Well, we don't see an issue like this in Canada. I don't know many other countries that are still up to par with this. Tom should be joining the broadcast here shortly. And he's back, I think.
How are we doing now? How are we doing now?
Was it? I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was on internet probably. So, okay, here we are. All right, I think we're back. So
you can hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Anyway, I was commenting about systemic racism in your country, which is, it's a contradiction in terms because, oh gosh, here we go. We've talked about this time and time again for 4 or 5 months. So all these areas that the protesters are complaining about are democratic cities run by African Democratic Demolition Party people. Most of the city councils are African American or minority. And so if there's a systemic racism in all of these areas that they claim, I guess it's against whites, right? Like it's
I guess. I mean, Turn your sound up.
You know, they're dominating the white folks that live in their cities. And so I guess it's African-American racism because I don't see exactly the difficulties that African Americans were having before COVID in all these inner cities. I mean, the unemployment rates had dropped across the board. There was more jobs than available. There were more jobs than people were available for. So, I don't know. It's one of these things. You know, at some point, like with you're the perfect example. You're a voter, and at some point, you reach a tipping point where you go, "This isn't consistent with what I'm seeing on TV." Who would know that an 80-year-old congressman in your country would have to die to maybe quell some of this systematic racism yelling that everyone's making? Because all I've seen all weekend is this celebration of this gentleman now sitting in state in your capital in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, people can view this evening by invitation only. What do you think? You're gone again. So I can't hear you, and no one's responding. I'm wondering if they can hear us, because normally, one of these folks will give us a tap back and say they can hear us. So maybe we're having critical problems with our system here of communication. So can't hear you, just so you know. Can't hear you. I'm 5x5, so I'm working fine. My screen's working and my sound is working. What are we doing here? Thomas, if you're on and you're off the runway, give me a comment, buddy. Linda, throw back something. Let us know you're there, dear. The host has left the program, so I think it's at his end again. We will find out shortly. He's checking his Wi-Fi. He is in a... Oh, he's joined the broadcast again here. He's back. And now I can hear him again. Hello.
Now I can hear. Now I can hear you. And
yeah. On your end, I can hear you great. 5x5.
Okay, and I hear you. All right. Yeah, we got some kind of computer glitch going here, and I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'm not gonna touch any wires or bump anything.
Try not to. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely don't push any buttons. Yeah, like that.
That's right. Okay. Maybe we should start over because. All right. Here's the deal. Our local city commission wants to tonight. They're going to deal with police brutality and racism in Bozeman. Oh my God! I guess it's just so incredibly rampant that they've got to deal with it. They just have to deal with it. So they're going to redo practices and everything. Yeah. What?
Has the Bozeman Police Department ever shot and killed an unarmed person that you know?
Not to my knowledge. Not since I've been here anyway. Neither is the sheriff, as far as I know. You know, I don't know. Maybe they did. Now, we have had some prisoners die in custody. So we have had that happen.
Really? You know. Self-inflicted, not or
from the police beating him with rubber hoses or anything.
Oh, okay.
None of that's happened.
I would think not. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. That hasn't happened here. So anyway, we're hoping that this rampant racism will work out and. Boy, there we are. All right. Linda says, there used to be times on these when people commented, so I don't know how long ago this is. Linda says she can hear Shane, but not Tom. So if anybody can hear me, let me know. So if not, then I still need to fix something. But if I'm not on, then I don't know. So hopefully somebody can hear me somewhere. So.
The last comment I have on my screen was from Thomas at 1:03.
Yeah.
My time, 2:03 years. Yeah. So I haven't.
Yeah, so that's 1403. Yeah. I was looking over Facebook because we got more comments over on Facebook. Bruce says, talk Shane. James says, Shane, turn up your mic. Tom said, I can hear you, Shane. Linda says, I can hear you, Shane, not Tom. So that's on our Facebook page. Tom, you're back. Tom, you're back, Linda says. So I guess we're both on.
Yeah.
So good. So right. I guess whatever technical doodad we had, we've solved. So I guess I better not touch anything else. Who knows what I might screw up. So, all right. But yeah, the biggest problem with this racism stuff is that, if MSU has a pledge, they want to do a pledge, you know, that she'll be anti-racist and all this stuff and everything. And they got a pledge for the downtown businesses and all that. And the city commission, they want to do their thing. And the problem this is going to run into is that every remark, every gesture, every action is going to be seen by somebody as some racist thing, and you're not adhering to the pledge, you know, you're not, you're a racist, you know, I mean, it's just gonna, it's gonna escalate to the point where you can't say anything to anyone ever. And the problem is that if you want to have a pledge, how about the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the pledge that'll get it done, because that covers everybody. You know, Black Lives Matter. What about Asian lives and Eskimo lives?
The irony is before coronavirus, you know, you were concerned about getting on an elevator, which were normally crowded, and making any comment, like not even socializing out of fear of saying something politically incorrect. And
well, sure.
Now anything that you say can be qualified as racism. But unfortunately, you're going to be on the elevator alone. So you're going to be talking to yourself.
Yeah. This elevator will accommodate two people at a time, because you got to stay in the opposite corners and wear a mask. And, don't touch the buttons.
it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, the poll came out today. 77% of people are afraid to voice their political position. What's up with that?
Well, that demolition party, that's what they want. You know, they don't, you know, and by the way, I just want to call out one of our listeners, because, you know, they brought up this concern, the affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Act. And, you know, when you look at this, which, of course, Obama re-engineered it, he socially engineered it while he was president, and Biden is fully behind it, means that suburbs will have to become compliant if they file for request any federal funding for anything. They've already done this with a suburb in New York, and then they sued them, claiming that they didn't provide the information. Now, remember, you're doing a census, and your president wanted to include on it a question as to whether you're an American citizen or not. And of course, the demolition party went absolutely berserk. But under this Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Act, they can literally sue a suburb into becoming part of the the city itself, basically, and then escalate their taxes by the following thing: social housing, because when they fill this form out to get federal funding for anything, a street, a road, water, whatever, they have to put in the following. You have to put in all the demographics for people's background, meaning, you know, their color of their skin, their education, their income, the type of work that they have, their education. And under the guidelines of the federal government to get any federal funds, which of course suburbs pay into to get back, because, you know, it's a redistribution of their wealth, this Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Act can basically blow up all of local government. And as we always talk, you know, politics are local, right? And so
politics are local.
I really appreciate the caller. Go Google this AFFH if you or anyone you know lives in the suburbs. The demolition party is coming for all your civil rights, and will be social engineering your neighborhood to protect the city you are outside of, because you're not paying city taxes anymore, and they are going bankrupt without you. So
that's for sure. Yeah. From our Facebook, white people are SBD, silent but deadly. That's from Jim. And Jim also says, I'm done with political correctness. Black Lives Matter. Kill that. Jim Cadel says, I agree. I am so tired of all disrespect that people are showing in our cities. It's just not right. This can't be our new norm. And Tom says he can hear Linda, but not Bruce. So, okay. There we go. Shane, well, I guess we're back on to a certain extent. So.
We are. So, you know, this is a political story. The demolition party will want to carry this through to the election. You know, they're trying to stick to this racist issue. Systemic, by the way.
Wow.
And then they want to stick with the COVID issue and that your president's a failure on it.
Yeah, sure.
And nothing about personal responsibility. Can't go there because, you know, the government's going to supplement your personal responsibility and tell you what to do. And then on the third thing, of course, is going to wind down to the economy. Well, the economy's not that great because he's failed with COVID. And he hasn't done anything about racism. And that's causing all of this all these problems in cities like Portland. So, wow, what I watched this weekend was like 3 months ago. You know, it's like it's back. The purge is back.
Well, 60 days of street rioting in Portland. Dwarfing Seattle. Seattle's off the front page.
you wonder how big Portland is as a, you know, secondary city in your country. I mean, you know, it's not one of the primary cities in your country, but it's in the top 20. But how big is it?
Well, still pretty good sized city, yeah.
You know, like it's a couple hundred thousand people. I should look it up to be specific.
Yeah.
The bottom line is how much is left? They've been burning it for, 60 days now, right?
I know.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Portland is, what's their population? 653,000. So they're a fairly good sized city.
Yeah, that would include the suburbs, I believe. But now, have you ever nine pin bowled? You know, gone to the bowling alley and done nine pin bowl?
I have no idea what 9-10 bowl is.
Okay, there's no holes in the ball. It's about a third of the size. You know, it's about the size of your two fists. And it looks like a fireworks that you drop into a tube, you know, the big one, the commercial ones.
Okay.
And it has like a 12, and you light it, and it goes, you know, 200 feet in the air and explodes. And this is what they've been using in Portland against the police.
Oh, yeah.
You know, firing these across the street at the police. Mm-hmm. Not pop. These aren't pop bottle rockets, okay? They're commercial size, you know, fireworks. And you've seen them on the screen exploding, of course. It's pretty spectacular, mm-hmm. but incredibly dangerous. But it's remarkable to me that the leaders of the demolition party are calling them stormtroopers and troops. And they're not. They're just officers of the government. And by the way, we called this, 5 weeks ago, right? We said he was going to send in the FBI, all the different, government agencies with officers, you know, to secure federal buildings as well as, investigate attacks. And how do you turn on your own federal police and call them the enemy and call them stormtroopers and Nazi brown shirts? And where does all this come from when there's so much crime in these cities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, 60 days of rioting is what the news is reporting. I didn't say it. They said it. So Ross says, you're exactly right, Jim. I'm sick of hearing people say new normal, too. It's sickening. And Linda says, don't you think this is a plan by Democrats to stop Trump from being elected and a takeover to get Joe Biden for president? Wonder who is paying for all this rioting. I guess it's the Democrats. Well, that may be the case, certainly. As I was saying earlier, the black community has some responsibility for what's happening in their cities. As we talked about many times on our show, that there's a reason why police are reluctant to go into certain neighborhoods in large cities, because it's not safe there. And why is that? They're not run by redneck, Trump hat wearing, Confederate shirt wearing rednecks. Naturally. They're controlled by the black, Asian, and whatever gangs that are in those areas. And, the people of who live in that area, a very small portion of these people are you know, racist or haters or whatever. Most of these people want to raise their kids. They want to have a nice life. You know, they want to enjoy the same thing everybody else enjoys. But they are too afraid to stand up to the bad elements in their cities. And they won't cooperate with the police because there'll be retaliation if you do. And, you know, they're between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, until the black community wakes up and, you know, starts demanding, you know, within their own areas, you know, somebody needs to go down there, the football players, the black players, the basketball players, the whoever, the rappers or whatever, and say, hey, clean up your act down here, guys. This isn't working.
Well, yeah, again, you know, we're seeing this celebration of this congressman who died now at 80, and all this talk about the Selma Bridge that he crossed over every year since 1965, hand in arm with presidents and other members of Congress and the Black Caucus and everyone in Congress. And what amazes me is, why aren't they walking the streets of Chicago and Portland and Seattle and Baltimore and Philadelphia and Atlanta and Nashville and where all this is taking place? Like, you would think that they would be marching for peace, because everything that anyone said about this congressman I listened to all weekend long was he was a man of peace, and he, you know, peaceably demonstrated. And, you know, let's do some nasty good. He wasn't nasty bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about let's go out and do some nasty things good, so that, you know, we can't be assaulted or charged with anything.
Yeah.
So you wonder, the incredible civil rights movement of the 60s has turned into this absolutely destructive demonstration of 2020 with no black leaders. Mm-hmm. There are some black members of Black Lives Matter. But it takes me back to, you remember when Trump first took office in 2017, and the hashtag Me Too women's movement, because of Kavanaugh, started. And there was the only demonstration was the day of his inauguration. Remember? if you remember, folks, the one thing that was destroyed that day was a limousine owned by an African-American black guy. And they burned it, right?
Yeah.
And he was on television going,
thanks a lot. I really appreciate you doing that for me. That was great. Thanks so much for thanks for taking my livelihood away from me.
So, you know, here you are almost 4 years later, three and a half. And mm-hmm. this evolved supposedly from the death of African-American in New York City. I mean, in Minneapolis, right? And it's just, we've watched this, and we've been on since this happened, because we started in April, right?
And
it's just been, like you said, I don't mind you. I reached a tipping point, you know, somewhere in the third week of April with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Jim says the conspiracy, there are 10 major cities that they're going to use for their distribution points. Anyone want to try to guess which cities with the sanctuary wins? Isn't that a coincidence? Jim says he'll shut up now. So Julie's here. Hi, guys. Glad to see you here, Julie. Thank you very much for showing up, and we appreciate it. And it seems like on the one side, you know, they're battling over this. What are we going to do? You know, how are we going to bail out the American people? Why don't you just put them back to work and let this virus run its course? You know, it either kills everybody in the United States or it doesn't.
Well, you know, you're talking about herd immunity, and, you know, science doesn't want that. They want a vaccine. And
they'll eventually get one, but, you know, go back to work.
Yeah. Well, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, our cases have come down over the last couple of days. So, You know, that's a good thing, I think, here. And but cases are spiking and everybody's supposed to be wearing masks. So are we to assume from that that masks don't work, or are we all supposed to continue doing that? Has it been too soon? What's the story?
Well, the story is science doesn't know. And we've been honest with everyone from the beginning, since February, and told them it's a virus. It's not going away. You're not going to destroy it. You're not going to kill it. You can somehow prevent it affecting people, and hopefully the ones that are the most exposed. Mm-hmm. So we've watched now for 5 months as science has gone through their, you know, their process of understanding it and their studies. And the problem is every time they think they've come up with an answer, literally within a week, they've had to correct themselves.
Yeah.
So, again, we've said this time and time again for the last 4 weeks, science and medicine has now crippled itself with the American people as to whether or not they can be trusted. It's interesting because in South Florida, I'm watching that really close because this is going to be a key state. We know that in the election. And the Republican governor down there gets a handle on this, which apparently it looks like he may have, and prevents exposure of older people, primary voters down there, for the election, which will decide it. Then, you know, Trump will take Florida. But if it spikes in an angry way, like in New York or in California, you know, California now is the, you know, the focal point of the virus. You know, it's catching up to New York. And, you know, they're over 5,000, nowhere near the 40,000+ people that died in New York. But, you know, these are going to be the things or measures that older people are going to determine their vote on. I really believe that.
Yeah. Linda says cities with Democrat mayors are letting this happen instead of helping the people that voted for them. They let their city be destroyed. It's sad. And Sharon joins us. Hello, Tom and Shane. Oh, Sharon, glad to have you along with us. Thanks for showing up, and we appreciate you being here. And, well, a couple other things. You know, this thing isn't going away, but I don't know, this constant, we reported a couple of weeks ago in Seattle where they called all the white workers in and they had to apologize for being, you know, for being white and, you know, whatever. And we talked about the stenographer that does the Zoom meetings for corporations where you say, you know, my name is so-and-so and my pronouns are this, and I live here on land stolen from these people. And if that's where we're going in America, we've got way more serious problems with these demonstrations and these riots in cities. If we all have to go around apologizing for our pigmentation, there's something wrong with that, definitely. So,
well, especially as we've discussed, Jamestown, the first white people to North America from Europe were indentured servants. They were slaves.
They were slaves.
So, you know, the irony is just incredibly overwhelming. And, you know, they always project. The Democrats are really good about it. Like, here's one I can't believe they haven't grabbed.
Yeah.
You know, your president wants a payroll tax cut.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if he cuts the payroll taxes, all that payroll money that is paid goes into Social Security. Where's the demolition party out yelling and screaming at the top of their voice? He's taking away your Social Security. He's defunding Social Security with payroll savings.
Well, it doesn't work that way. No, it really doesn't work that way. He's talking about the FICA tax. Not Social Security. Those are two separate items on your bank, on your pay stub.
And your pay stub, yeah.
They're separate, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, you put in 6.2% and the employer puts in 6.2%. Actually, the employer puts it all in, but that's for another day. But and then the FICA tax, the Federal Insurance Corporation of America, they're the ones that take out your taxes for your income tax. So it wouldn't cut Social Security. It would just cut the amount of tax you pay, and it would increase the amount you take home. So, So yeah. I know that. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure because you were saying cut Social Security.
Savings tax you pay funds Social Security.
Now, the Social Security tax you pay funds Social Security.
That's right.
It's a separate item on your pay stub.
Cool.
Yeah, that goes to do Social Security. The other runs the government.
Cool.
Yeah, so just want to make sure we're clear to the folks watching. Listening. Yeah, no, I'm not faulting you. I'm just telling you you're in Canada. You know, different pay system up there than we have here. All right. What else we got to talk about here? We got to talk about something besides this racism crap. Senate Republicans reportedly to propose cutting weekly unemployment boost from 600 to 200. So they still haven't come up to a decision, as far as I know, Shane. I haven't heard that we've passed anything, and Trump hasn't signed anything. He's in Texas, so. They're supposed to have something done by Monday because they're getting out of town. They're
leaving.
Yeah, they're leaving. Go campaign.
That's right. They leave at the end of the week for a 2-week break into August, and then of course the viral conventions will occur, and so they'll be away from that time. So, their calendar is sort of filled, for doing any work for the American people. But yeah, he instead of $600 a week, which is $2,400 a month, you're now down to $800 a month.
Yeah.
And the Republican position on this is can't pay you more to stay at home than what you'll do working.
Yeah.
Because we are opening and people need you to get back to work or they can't open stores.
Yeah.
That's that private sector area. It's been trimmed $110 million from $126 million. And half the people that are unemployed, which is around 30 million.
Yeah. Well, the 200 will be added to whatever your regular unemployment is. That's the way it works. So, yeah. So that's how it works. So,
yeah. What the Republicans are wanting to negotiate is like it'll be like 70%.
70% of your. Yeah. You're only going to get 70% of your paycheck.
What you're doing with state unemployment, and then of course, this benefit. Yeah.
That would be right. Yeah. Well, and also too, they're talking about the $1,200 check again to everybody. So.
Let me get
in addition to this. So. But if businesses aren't open, where do you spend your money? Where? If businesses aren't open, where am I going to spend it? I can't go anywhere where there's more than 50 people. And I guess I can get my hair cut and whatever. Other than that, I'm not sure what I get.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's sort of where you're at on the issue, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah. Does it really matter how I get more money? I guess I can pay bills. I can do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Pay my rent.
As money is, pay off debt, pay off your credit card, like we talked about.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, I think they're still talking about moratorium on evictions, too, to keep people at least in their homes. And I guess reimburse landlords. And they also want another round of the money to pay employees that are furloughed or, aren't there because their particular type of business hasn't opened wherever they are. So, but I don't know. This has been. I've never, I know you haven't either. I've never gone through an election cycle like this before. It's pretty strange.
Yeah, you'd have to combine a couple to really get there.
Yeah,
this is sort of like the 2004 election after 9/11 with Bush.
Yeah, Bush and Gore.
With Nixon.
Yeah,
Those two situations, The 2000 election was interesting because the dot-com collapse that occurred didn't really affect the election. You would have thought it would, because it was devastating. We've gone over it to some degree, but not a lot. It
was savings and loans in there too.
Well, yeah, that was back in during Reagan. The commercial property. Yeah, during the savings and loans. So again, you had these issues in the last 60 years that, yes, they certainly impacted everyone. But what's really strange, I think in a lot of ways, a lot of these elections have come down to really simple stuff, like we talked about, like Ford falling off the steps of Air Force One, ladder coming down, or Jimmy Carter making a speech in front of a fireplace in the White House with a sweater on. And, the Iranian hostage situation. I mean, there's a lot of background issues, really, that probably were of a great concern. That's why I brought this AFFH thing up. I think if people in the suburbs, then the Republicans running for Congress in the suburbs in your country, get out and specifically talk about that would be a huge benefit. Yeah. COVID's going to affect election and the economy. Those are going to be and opening schools. Those are the four things I now think will be.
Yeah, those are the things that are going to happen. Yeah, the closest thing I can think of to this one would be the civil rights movement was going on at the same time as the Vietnam War. So, we did have demonstrations in the South, and a lot of college kids. So we have the Students for a Democratic Society and Jerry Rubin and, all those people. And, that was going on, culminating at the 68 convention. So that's probably the closest thing that I've seen and lived through that would coincide with what we're having here. We're kind of having the same thing here, just a different kind of war. And but you got the COVID virus on top of it, compound it.
And the two similarities: inner city, large crowds, large demonstrations of peaceful people, combined with a large group of people out burning and destroying property. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that in both cases, the 60s civil rights movement and now today the Black Lives Matter movement, which basically that's what this is, they have some regrettable similarities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bruce reminds us, you still have to pay taxes on that unemployment. Yeah, you do. It's not free money. So,
you got to get paid, Bruce. They're privileged white people. They're all privileged white people, and it's just they need that paycheck.
It's just sort of a loan, Bruce. Jim says, what an awesome way to steal wealth and create a socialist country, put you out of a job and then have the banks repossess your assets. That's another name for what other countries have done. I won't apologize for being white. My mom had an old saying, you don't like my gait, don't swing it. So there you are.
That's a good one.
Oh, that should be pretty good. Yeah.
Now he's trying to help us. That's one. Thank you, Jim. You're the man.
That was a good one. So let's see. Google the Muriels in Denver Airport. Interesting mural is people wearing masks identifying themselves with paintings that were done years ago. I guess nothing happens by accident. So anyway.
Well, I have to tell everyone I'm not surprised from Denver because I lived there for 6 years. And went to high school and university in Boulder and high school in Denver. And we were the first school district in the United States to be forced into a school segregation. Mm-hmm. And there's a very large black population in what's called East Denver, downtown, Southeast Denver. And it was horrific. I have to tell you, as a junior and senior in high school, it was a horrific experience. And I don't want to go there because we've always said we wouldn't talk about high school or college, but in this case, I will.
That's true.
The city. So I can understand why they're having major demonstrations. But on the other side of that, it's quite interesting because they haven't been as destructive, you know, in Denver as, you know, people in Portland or Seattle or all the other cities that have burned. I mean, it's just it's mm-hmm. quite cool. So I guess you have to qualify the police there for having a more involved force in the community, because that really started back in the 70s when integration started. You know, it was bad, Tom. Like mm-hmm. we had crosses on the front lawn of Thomas Jefferson put up and set on fire, and yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that went on when I was in my junior and senior year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really weird, like, because you know, you walked around at school, and I mean, as a kid, 16, 17, 18, I'm looking at this and I'm right in the middle of it and going, what? I don't get this. I'm from Montana. I've shared with people on our show about the first African-American person I met when I was like 7 years old. But yeah, I never quite understood it, even though I got mugged 3 times. But mm-hmm. you know, it was quite distressful. Well, you know, Washington High School in Denver back in 1972 was headlined in Life magazine with pictures, you know, of the schools being taken over by the African American students that would bust in, and we'd all be locked in our schools rooms, locked, you know, like for 12 hours, well, they're roaming outside, and we're all sitting there going, I'm missing chemistry, right? I'm missing my math class. Okay. Now I'm going to be like, this isn't fun. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, in other news, wealthy donors pour millions into fight over mail-in balloting. And we're talking about a lot of mail-in balloting. That's probably going to be, this will be the first election maybe in history that all of the... things will be mail-in ballots, which will mean we won't get results till Christmas of who won. They count all the absentees and the whatevers and make sure they're all valid.
That's a huge concern. I mean,
it is.
You know, for the markets and the holiday season buying, which is critical to your economy. I mean, there's so many things that happen in November and the 1st of January in your country. Yeah. Those are two big months. Big months.
Yeah. Well, that's, like
50%, 60% of your retail sales occur between November and December. It's pretty big.
Oh, they will. Yeah. COVID unemployment boosted. Hang on, $200 a week. They'll send out $1,200 checks, shield employers from being sued over transmission, and give $100 billion to reopen the schools. That's their plan. So,
they just released it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what they've been talking about all weekend, basically.
Well, they have. Yeah. I mean, it's not new news. But anyway, it's just kind of spelled out a little bit for the people watching us and listening to us to know those two things. But it's going to be $1 trillion. The Democrats want $3 trillion, I believe. And
of course they do.
Yeah, and they don't want the protection of the businesses either. They don't like that idea.
Well, they can't because lawyers, you know, the lawyers have nothing to do.
Well, if I can't sue a local business, what the hell good am I? Seems
pretty.
Everyone
talked about what a litigious society you live in.
Oh,
but, if you look, there's the legal business.
Yeah,
and regrettably, the people in college going through to become lawyers, most of which over 56% of women, by the way, are coming out and there's no jobs because there's no biz. There's just no, you know, and of course, most of them want to be criminal defense lawyers, you know that.
Well, of course, yeah. So, well, so much for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. Well, you know, hey, 75% of all lawyers finish in the bottom three quarters of their class. So How good can they be? So,
well, this is not a difficult profession because it's 4 to 8 years of reading. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Reading. You know, learning precedent and history and the process, understanding the precedents and the process, and that's about it. Yeah.
Well, amid the national reckoning on racism, an unlikely monument is facing scrutiny. A Boston memorial to a famed Civil War group made of black soldiers, considered one of the nation's great sculptures. 54th Regiment Memorial was popularized in the movie Glory. Yeah. It prominently depicts the white commanding officer on horseback with his black soldiers walking in the background. Elizabeth Visa, who heads an advocacy group involved with the $3 million restoration of the memorial this month, says more people need to understand the history and significance of the work. So more likely, they're probably ready to tear it down as well. So.
Well, I think it was last week I said I'm surprised the demolition party has taken 160 years to deny the Confederate flag. I mean, they're the party of slavery, the party of Civil War, and the Confederates, and that flag, Jim Crow. They're the party that stole sharecroppers' land given to them by President Ulysses S. Grant. You know, all the way up to the Great Society and servitude, basically, once again. And so, you know, now everyone comes along and, of course, they want to project. Oh, you know, the president doesn't think that we should get rid of this Confederate flag. And, you know, I think, look, the bottom line is you have a First Amendment, right? I mean, you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You do. Yeah. You may not like it in certain circumstances, and everyone on the left and right has agreed with that. But in the good circumstances.
Who would be the First Amendment?
Exactly. That's the bottom line. Yeah. If it wasn't for the First Amendment, free speech and freedom of the press, if it bled, it led. That used to be the headline in the news, right?
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads.
It's all. Yeah, that's right. And now in the woke media in your country, it's more about minority rights once again. Mm-hmm. You know, back to that, you know, white privilege, the, you know, rule of the majority, just the worst system ever created. Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's given civil rights to more minorities than anywhere else in the world, which is why people want to come here and live here. You know, my nephew's girlfriend's from Central America and came here to Canada as a refugee. And, you know, I talked to her, you know, and that's why she came. She came for being protected as a minority, and it's wow! It's like the demolition party doesn't even understand why people are coming to your country.
No, they don't.
Just
well, they're coming here. They're coming here to vote Democrat, is what they think.
Well, I was just going to say that. You can come if you vote for us.
That's right.
That's all it is.
Otherwise, get the hell out.
Stay home.
Jim and James have a debate going here, Shane. If the presidency is in question on the election, who's put in charge till it's determined? And James says, well, the Electoral College is mandated to meet in December and choose a president or vice president. And the Supreme Court, I believe, just ruled that you have to vote for the whoever was elected in your state. So, you know, you can't just go in and vote. Yeah, you can't go in and vote for whoever you want to. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you're appointed to vote, cast your vote as a member of the Electoral College for the candidate that had the most votes in your state.
Right.
Period.
Unless it's proportional, like Maine or one of the other states, I think. Nebraska, one of the two are proportioned.
The problem with you. Yeah, the problem with the election is we all know that the new president will take his oath of office, you know, on the 27th of January. So
20th.
You know, Trump will, 20th, I mean, thank you for correcting me, the 20th of January. So Trump will continue being president until that day, and hopefully before the 20th of January, it will be or have been decided by the Electoral College.
What happens if, for whatever reason, the ballots are in, remember Florida, the hanging chads and all that. What I can see is, Shane, that we have a bunch of ballots that are fine. You know, they're signed and everything's legal and the signatures match and all that. And then you got a whole stack of several hundred thousand ballots over here that the signature might be questionable. Do the things fall outside the line? Do they vote for two people? Who did they really mean to vote for? And, you know, I can see this thing going on till May. Then what do you do with the Electoral College?
According to your constitution, the House mm-hmm. has a say in this. But the problem you have with that, of course, is if the Democrats win control of the House, they'll be all in on this. They'll want to elect the president, right? If the Republicans were to take control of the House and it was left to the House to decide, the Democrats would go nuts. You stole the election. Our democracy. The Republic's dead. Unfortunately, if you go by your constitution, that may be the way that it passes. It would be horrific for your republic if there wasn't a decision made before the end of November, or certainly before the end of December, as to who won the election. And we'll see where it goes.
Well, it was almost end of January before.
One caveat. Unless it's a landslide.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, if Trump were to take over 320 or 30 electoral votes right off the bat, and 30 states or something, or 32 states or 35, and we're talking about of the 15 states left, there's 6 or 7. Like, it's California. Who cares? We give it to you.
We surrender
California, right? And wonder if it's New York.
You can have Washington. You can have those three. Fine. New York. Yeah. Take New York. We don't care. Yeah.
But, if it's a landslide, then fine. It's either going to be very close or a Trump landslide. That's what it's going to be.
It'll
come down to the debate. It'll first come down to the debates.
Yeah.
The economy, opening school, COVID, and this AFFH, the Affirmative Housing Act.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
All right. Well, Pelosi presses the GOP to quickly negotiate virus aid with the Dems. We just talked about it earlier. They're going back and forth on what benefits, they're going to give everybody or anybody. And so that's kind of where we are. And, both sides are trying to
control your house.
Yeah.
Democrats control the House of Representatives. So unless they come up with something that Trump agrees to sign, they're the ones that have the vote. This is a decision that Democrats have to make, not the Republicans.
Republicans could offer all day long, but the House controls the purse strings, and so the Democrats are going to have to capitulate somehow on what they're going to do. But they're desperate to get some. They're desperate to win some votes from those inner cities and the flyover country. So I think that's why they want the $3 trillion.
Well, they want the $3 trillion to bail out all their states.
Yeah.
They want to bail
they
out
do, yeah.
California, New York, Illinois.
Yeah.
They want to
all those taxes coming in. They've got to pay those pensions and everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're screwed. Well, the Democrats want to increase to 600, I believe, till January or December or somewhere in there.
How they want to see $1 trillion pass to everyone for these states to pay.
They want to pack money in there. They need taxable income in Illinois and California and New York. I mean, there are states can't go bankrupt.
I'm talking about they want $3 trillion passed to get even to do what to do to give money to Americans, 200 to 600 a week is somewhere between 600 and $1 trillion.
Okay. Yeah.
But the other 2 trillion is for schools.
Yeah.
That aren't going to be open to pay teachers who aren't going to work. And then another trillion of the 3 trillion the Democrats are, is to it's pay off debts, you know, to pay off the debts of the state. They haven't been.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They've got to put money in people's hands that is taxable to the state to get their coffers back somewhere near positive. I mean, Illinois is broke.
They're about $1 trillion that's going to go directly to the states to spend as they want, which they'll use to pay off the, you know, like New York.
Exactly. New York that's City what I'm saying. We're saying the same thing, Shane.
Okay. All right. Good.
We're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. States are going to pay off their debt. Illinois is in trouble. Mm-hmm. California is in trouble. New York's in trouble. They need dough.
New Jersey, Massachusetts, and so on and on and on. Yeah.
They all need money.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Like $1.2 trillion.
Yeah. So whether it's a direct payment to them or whether it's a taxable income from the people or wherever, they need money. So wherever it comes from, okay, they don't care.
Real quick, because it's Monday. It's Monday, and important question we have to answer every day. Between now and Friday, because Biden's going to announce on Friday his vice president nominee.
Yeah.
Your call. What, just give me a name.
Duckworth.
Okay. I'm going to go today right now with Camilla. Camilla from California.
Yeah.
Camilla Harris. Yeah. So we'll see tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll get a chance tomorrow to answer that question. See if it's changed over.
Well, he's going
to
announce today?
No, Friday.
Okay, we can't announce it tomorrow then.
That's not what I said. We'll be able to update our question if you want to change it to someone else.
Oh, okay.
You know, you may say Duckworth tomorrow. You
yeah.
may say Warren tomorrow. Yeah. Right now, I'm going to go with Noah.
Okay. Walmart has just pledged $100 million to Black Lives Matter. Are you shopping there? Is this true? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, Julie. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. There's all these corporations are Democrats anyway. One of them who's going to vote for Biden.
I get a comment on that. So, well, folks, here's what's going on at Walmart. Here's what's going on. Sorry we're not rebuilding in your neighborhoods because you burned it down. So we're going to give money to where Black Lives Matter.
Well, yeah.
Because we got a big insurance payout for burning our buildings down.
That's
but we're
right.
not going to replace it.
Yes.
What's going on here? Because later in the week or month or whatever they announce, we're not going to build here in Chicago or here in New York or here in Philadelphia. Yeah. But we gave all that money to Black Lives Matter 2 months ago. Remember?
Yeah. All right. Bruce says, I wonder who's going to vote for Biden. He's not even in the same decade we are. And
that's pretty good, Bruce. That's
good. And Linda says, maybe we will pick a AOC Washington terrorist. Well, she's not old enough, I don't think.
No, not till 24. 2024, she'd be old.
she could do that. So I don't know why not. So, all right. Let's see. Something else I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was now.
By the way, AOC would be as bad as Bernie, Uncle Bernie. Yeah.
Well, the reason I picked Duckworth, and she probably won't be the nominee, but the only reason I pick her is that she's what?
The name's too long.
I
want that as a lawn sign for my candidacy. Biden,
I was
going
to say, I was going to say, what's a Biden duck worth? About 89 cents a pound. I don't know. Something like that.
You're good, Eagle, man. You caught on to that one.
why I brought it up. It was
right by your ear, not over your head.
Well, not only is she black and a woman, she's also handicapped. So we cover all bases with her.
Oh, darn, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Maybe she could change her name by the end, before the election, to Worth, and then we'd be Biden Worth.
Yeah, yeah. Biden Works. Now that would be good. Biden Works would be great.
Biden Duck. No, but it couldn't be Biden Duck.
No. No, we couldn't. No. Yeah, that's why several of these names we went over the other day wouldn't work at all, you know.
Yeah, what's her name went from Georgia was the best, right? Because it's like, you know, four letters.
Oh, I don't remember who they all are, but we wanted
to run for governor, but should have been elected. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they were pretty funny. So, all right. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. And don't forget, hey, we are on every weekend, Saturdays, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Tune us in right here, KMMSAM.com. Just click on Listen Now. And you can listen to any of our previous shows. We're over 5,100 downloads, 5,100 downloads. Man, we just passed that. We're about 5,160 something, I think. And you can listen to any of our previous shows. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast over at KMMSAM.com. And subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube right now. Subscribe, comment, and like us. We're pretty likable people. Our parents like us. What's not to like? So thanks for watching. Say goodbye, Shane.
Yes, indeed. Goodbye. Be happy. Be safe, everyone. Thanks for joining in with us today. And live in the moment. Live to work. And God bless the American and Canadian people, because they're all terrific. And thank goodness we live in the two greatest country clubs in the world.
Yes, we do. All right. All views are welcome here. Chances are, if you think it there, sooner or later, we will say it here. So we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.